Good evening to each one, and greetings in the name of Jesus again. Also wanted to thank you all for your hospitality, your welcome here. We felt very at home. And special thanks to Neil and Alta for opening your home to us. And we enjoyed our stay there. And on our part, we're parting as friends. And we welcome all of you down to Piedmont. We love to have visitors, and I'll just put a word in for opening your home. When someone's coming, you know, now we consider Neil and Alta our friends, and that's what happens when you host people. They end up being your friends, and, or at least we're their friends. I'm sure we are, but I'll put a plug in for hospitality. It is something that the Bible actually commands, and it's something that's very enjoyable. You can turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We have the theme this weekend of faithfulness, and the title this evening is Take Heed Unto Thyself. And I believe the verse that we pull out here shows us the need of being faithful, and I want to end up at the end of the message talking about faithfulness a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. First part of the verse there, take heed unto thyself. I'd like to read the context of this. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's a church leader, I believe a bishop. And he's giving him a charge here in verse 6. Start reading in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thou profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We have quite a charge that is given here to Timothy. A lot of things that he was called to be faithful in. And there is responsibilities that we have in life, whether we're a minister, whether we're a father, a school teacher, or simply a member in the church, an example. I shouldn't say simply, because that is important. God has given us all responsibility, and we need to be faithful in that. So this is not just, I don't want this just to be speaking to ministers here this evening, but to all of us as we think about what we are called to do in this world. Paul also knew that there was a danger, and we're thinking about the charge here that he was giving Timothy to preach the word, to be what God wanted him to be, not to neglect the gift and meditate upon the scriptures. He knew that there was a danger that you could preach right, you could teach right, and yet you could miss the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He saw that there could be a means of which he could preach the gospel and teach and give instruction, have a lot of wisdom, but he himself could miss the point. And so there is a need to take heed unto ourselves, that in all levels all levels of responsibility or all levels of authority. There it is, the need of us teaching and being the example as well. There needs to be a balance there. I thought about the how freely and how instruction is given almost carelessly. We live in a world of knowledge where it's readily available. We can find out things so easily, and instruction can be given so easily. But how often is it lived up to? How often do we have the example that follows the teaching that is given? I think 1 Corinthians chapter 4 gives us such a good balance to that when he talks about the need of fathers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17, he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He talks about the need of having a father. He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, there is a need of being a teacher and being an example to follow. I believe he's, in my understanding, he's saying it's better to be one father than to be 10,000 instructors. Because a father gives instruction, and he goes, and the father should take that instruction and say, here, this is how you do it. And then the son sees how it's done, and he sees his father following his own direction. And yes, instruction is one hit on the nail, but example puts it the rest of the way in and actually bends it over so it can't back out. We think about how important that is. If you reflect upon your own life, those that were examples of what they taught, it is something that is an anchor for us, because we see they taught and they followed, they lived. And I believe that's one thing that set Jesus apart from the teachers of his day. Many times they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. They said that never a man spake like this. Well, I think if you look at the hypocrisy that the Pharisees and the scribes were living in, the deception that they had, I'm sure their teaching was very feeble and very flawed, because they were given instruction, but they weren't living the example. They weren't living what they were teaching. And it was a totally different thing when Jesus taught, because he lived it. He was an example of the humility and the sacrifice that he was trying to teach them. Okay, for the next part of the message, I've just taken some verses that have this phrase in it, take heed, and I think I have 8 points here, things, different areas of life that we need to take heed to. And the first one comes from the text here in 1 Timothy. Take heed unto thyself. First point I have is personal responsibility. We have that here. Take heed unto thyself. He puts it right where it needs to be. It is so important that we learn responsibility. I forgot to write this verse down in John. I think it's the last chapter of John, where Jesus told Peter what he must do. And Peter looked at John and said, what's he going to do? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow me. And it is important that we understand that we understand our responsibility. Whether John goes with me or not, I need to obey and to follow Jesus. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verses 10 to 15. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here he's saying to take heed personally, how let every man take heed how he's building, and how what materials, what you're building on. Point number two is our ability to stand is given by God's power. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13 says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Thinking here of our ability to stand is given by God, and he's warning us in verse 12 that if we're think we can stand, we need to take heed, watch out. And in verse 13, maybe is the other way, that we're not sure if we can stand, but he says God is faithful. So our ability to stand, we need to take heed to that God is able, and he will help us to stand if we rely on him, but we need to watch out. We can't stand on our own. Also, Romans 12, verse 3 brings out the level where we sometimes struggle with estimation of our abilities, and others of us struggle with underestimating. And I believe we need to come to the level of Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So remember that it's what God is doing. Our ability to stand is given by God, and we need to take heed to that. Point number three, we need to exercise ourselves in God, exercise our faith in God. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Again, take heed. We need to exercise our faith in God. I want to read a few more verses there. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 with that. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. He says, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You know, we face life, and sometimes our faith can grow dim, but we need to watch out. We need to take heed to that. John chapter 15 talks about the vine. In verse 4, Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We need that connection, that relationship with God, so our faith can stay strong. We need to exercise our faith in God and to watch out for that evil heart that is so native to our nature. We have that native nature that we need to deal with, that sometimes we need to exercise in a special way to renew our faith in God. And in connection, he talks about it here in John, how it is so important. Except ye abide in the vine, no more... We're talking about bearing fruit. Except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We have to have a connection with Jesus Christ. Okay, point number four is we have influence on others. We're thinking about why we need to take heed to ourselves. We have influence on others. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." I believe he was speaking there about eating meat that was offered to idols. Also, Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." We are not here on an island by ourselves. We need to take heed that we don't offend another person. We have influence on other people, and we need to think about that and be willing to sacrifice for that. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty." I'm sorry, "Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And by love serve one another. That gives us the thought that the influence that we need to watch out for, we need to do in love and be willing to serve and to give up and to serve as a servant and because for the good of our brethren. Romans 15:1 says, "And we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." How did Jesus live? He lived as a servant, as one that was willing to lay down his life for others. And I believe that's what he was teaching when he washed the disciples' feet. He was teaching to, by love, serve one another and to exercise our love for our brethren, to have servant leadership. Okay, point number 5, the pressure of life can sidetrack us. There's many of the parables that Jesus gave that warn us of this. I'll just look at Luke chapter 21. Verse 34 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Pressures of life can sidetrack us. That's one reason we need to take heed to ourselves, is because there is pressure that comes in from all angles. Are overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that's probably where we struggle, the cares of this life. That's something that I have to deal with, the things of being sidetracked by the pressures of life. Also thought about the parable of the sower, how there was rocky soil, there was weedy soil, and it was something that choked out the words. It is very important that we take heed that these things do not sidetrack us. And thinking about being sidetracked and concentration, I'll just give this little example about how much being sidetracked affects us. I heard the story that it was an inventor that, I think he was the one that invented the Kinsey corn planter, the company. His last name was Kinsey. And he developed some new technology in planting corn, and he would think through and develop this stuff, he would lock his shop door, he would not answer the phone, he would not see anybody that came, and he would just stay in his shop and he would work, and he would just stay right at it. And there was a little window there on the shop where his wife could slide a plate of food to him so he could eat that at his convenience. And he was so dedicated to that concept that he was focused on it. And we can't do that in life. I'm not implying that we do that, but I'm just pointing that out, that how much a train of thought, how we can think, and how a train of thought can be so easily sidetracked. Let's be concentrated on what our eternal goal is, and not let the pressures of life sidetracked us from that. We do have to deal with them, but we need to come back to the important things of life. Okay, point number six, we need to be grounded in God's word. I want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Second Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We need to take heed to the word, that the light that has shined into our hearts. Luke 21:8 says, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Take heed, be not deceived. And we need to be anchored in the word of God. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:16, the influence of the evil around us. As he said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And you know, we do face a lot of thoughts in the world around us, and we need to take heed that our ways of thinking and how we come to conclusions are based upon the Word of God. Reading the Word of God and meditating upon it, putting it into practice, is important to taking heed to ourselves. Number seven, we should be on constant guard against pride. Matthew 6, verse 1 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That would be pride that would drive that. Take heed if you're giving your alms to be seen of men. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Warning against pride. Take heed, another verse, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We looked earlier, I think last evening, about how important it is to become as a little child and to be humble. And it is, pride is something that is very native to my nature, and we deal with it. We need to take heed that we put it, crucify it. Number eight, we need to take heed or keep ourselves free from unforgiveness. Luke chapter 17, verse 3, he says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. I believe that unforgiveness is something that we work with in brotherhood. The closest relationships that we have are those where we need to exercise forgiveness the most. And Jesus is warning us here, take heed. He says, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And Peter asked the question in Matthew chapter 18. He said, how often shall I forgive my brother? Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And he goes on and tells a story there about how we need to forgive as Jesus forgives. And he gave the example of someone that did not do that and the terrible judgment that was brought upon it. Unforgiveness is something that will destroy brotherhood, and we need to root it out, take heed that we're not harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. The last verse there in chapter 18, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. He was this man that did not forgive, was delivered to the tormentors until he could pay everything. And Jesus says that he will do that if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So these are just some verses I pulled out that have take heed, some thoughts that I pulled out about taking heed unto ourselves, the different issues that we need to watch out for. And we've been talking about taking heed and how and what we need to watch for, and what will be the outcome if we don't take heed to ourselves in these different areas of life. What will be the outcome? He says in back in Timothy, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. He's saying what will happen if we do take heed, and I believe it's right that if we don't take heed, well, he says what will happen, you'll save thyself and them that hear thee. If we don't do that, if we don't take heed, we will be lost, and there will be a influence, a wake that follows in our path. And of course, it makes a difference how many lives are affected by that, and that's why it's important, the more responsibility you're given, the more important it is to follow carefully and to understand the influence that we have on each one. But it is important that we start in little things. I don't believe that God suddenly makes us responsible for huge amounts. He calls us as we're faithful, and we need to exercise faithfulness in small areas of life. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much, he says. So we need to think about the results of not taking heed to ourselves, and the path, the story that will follow if we do not take heed. And our theme this weekend has been faithfulness. You know, what is at stake if we are not faithful in taking heed to ourselves? I'd like to look in closing at Matthew chapter 25. The story of the three servants, Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. It says, "And the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave unto one, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." I want to notice that ability right there. He did not give these men something that they could not handle, but he gave them according to their ability. "Then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Notice the difference there between what he said to the two servants that were faithful and to what he said to the wicked servant. He says to enter into, you've been faithful, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I think that shows us the heart of God, that he wants us to be faithful. And he gives according to our ability, and he does it so that we can be faithful. He didn't give these men a trick problem to solve. He simply gave them something that they could, by their ability, to function with. And he expresses joy at their faithfulness. And that's what I believe we see God, that he is joyful when we are faithful to him. But we see the response when the servant was not faithful to him. He was cast into darkness, and it was something that was not, I don't believe this was a pleasant thing for the master to do. But that is the result of not being faithful. Thou wicked and slothful servant, he says. And he said, you should have given it to the exchangers. At least I could have got interest on my money. And so it was not something that he was, this test that he had put them to was not something that was to trick them, but it was something that they could excel in, and that he appreciated the faithfulness that was given. We see the attitude of the two that were faithful. They took their talents, they went and traded, and they worked for the Lord. They went and did what he wanted them to. And I'm sure that those servants were just like you and me. They had plenty of other things that they could have done, but they knew that they were responsible, and they knew that faithfulness was required of them, and they laid down their own desires and what they thought was important, and they laid it down, and they were a servant and traded and gained for the Lord. They were faithful. They were a servant leader. They were somebody that was willing to serve, and they served in love. But we see the slothful servant was one that served himself. He thought that the master was unreasonable. He said, you reap where you haven't sowed, and you do these things, and I was afraid. Well, he had his things that he thought was important too, but he eventually understood it wasn't important. But he was someone that served himself. He hid the talent and went and did his own thing, and we see the punishment that came upon that. Thinking about taking heed to ourselves and how we need to be faithful in that, and our view of God makes a difference in how we think about our responsibility and being faithful, how we view God and how we view ourselves. God is a God of love, and do we see him as a God of love that is looking down, wanting us to do our part, helping us do our part, or do we see him as a taskmaster? Let's look at a few verses there at the end of the chapter in Matthew 25, 34. I'll just read the verses of the story that talks about the faithful. 34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Reminds me of the children's story. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw thee we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So our faithfulness in reaching out to others is something that God is looking for in our lives. Reaching out to others, being an example, taking heed to ourselves, and to be faithful in the calling that God has called us to. Again, I want to wish you God's blessing. Enjoyed being here, and may God receive the glory.